So today is our last Sunday in this topic, and I get to try to wrap it all up with, because Jesus lives, I have places to go. Because Jesus lives, I have places to go. Because of everything we have learned, we now go out into this world. My girls, Lydia and Emmy, are 5 and 3 years old, and they love to read books. And at this time of their life, it's not them reading books, it's us reading books to them. And they have lots of different kinds of books that they love to read. But one of their favorite authors is Dr. Seuss. And I can understand why, because they're a lot of fun to read. The words rhyme, there's words that don't make any sense. Most of the books, don't make any sense at all. But there are some books that are real gems that Dr. Seuss has written. And one of the books is this. Oh, the places you'll go. And this is a book that's often given to graduates of high school or college and university, just as a kind of a token, because there's lots of truth in this. This particular book was given to my wife, Laura, from her aunt and uncle, and it says, "Congratulations, Laura. Life has just begun, so enjoy." And the book starts like this. Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know, and you are the one who'll decide where to go. And the book continues on and talks about some great adventures that you could go on, but also some challenges, some obstacles that you're going to encounter in your lifetime. There are many times in our lives where we are sent to go to places. It could be through graduation and you're getting out of high school, so you're going into that next phase of life. It could be through your career and your job is sending you somewhere. It could be to the grocery store, which is important, or even your car tells you when you need to go to the gas station. We're always going somewhere. And church is a place that we go to be sent. The church isn't just a place where we come, but it's a sending agency. We come to church to celebrate what God is doing in our lives. We come to church to see old friends and to fellowship together and to worship our Heavenly Father together. But in essence, the church is a place that we go to so that we are sent out from it. Pastor Egbert said a few weeks ago that Sunday is the springboard to the rest of the week. Sunday is the springboard to the rest of the week. And that was something that really struck me as I reflected on, okay, is Sunday really something that fills me up so that I can go out into this week to share what I've learned on Sunday, to be filled up by the people that I meet, encouraged, so that I can go out on Sunday and go out to my daily activities during the week. Dwight Grubb says it this way, church is a place that we go to, but it should really translate as church is a force that goes. It's up there. So church is a place that we go to, but it should translate as church is a force that goes. The end goal is not for people to come to church, but for people to get to know Jesus. And yes, some people get to know Jesus. We get to know Jesus here at church, but that's not what most people are going to start to learn who Jesus is. People will get to know Jesus through us, through you and me. And this is the challenge for us who call ourselves disciples. I really love this Matthew 10 chapter. It's come really dear to me as I've kind of journeyed on, where is God leading me? Where does God want me to go with my talents and my gifts and even where I'm situated right now? And I've been able to journey through this passage with a few really good friends as well. And it highlights this, because Jesus lives, we have places to go. And there are three parts to this passage that I want to explore. The first is a calling, then a sending, and then the mission. And as we read the first verses in chapter 10, Jesus calls his disciples and he says this, So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And one of the things I really enjoy to do with Scripture is to place my own name into Scripture. And I know we need to be careful with this because the Bible is really written to a certain people at a certain time. So we have to be careful on the context. And so what we do as we read the Bible, we try to figure out what it meant to people then and then listen to God to what it means to us. But I got to do this exercise with some friends that we were gathering quite regularly. And so I put their names in this calling. And so for us this morning, it might sound a little bit more like this. It might sound like, so Jesus called his disciples and these are their names. Jonah and his brother Brody. Dan, son of Al, and his brother Matt. Randy and Tracy. Tom and Jen, the accountants. Grace, daughter of Arvid. And Phil, the Rough Riders fan. And you can either put him in the zealots or the one who betrayed Jesus. But we can enter our names into this calling because Jesus calls us. Jesus has called you. And if you believe yourself to be a disciple of Jesus, that means you have been called by Jesus. You have been called into the family of God. That's why we call ourselves brothers and sisters, because we're part of this family, because our Heavenly Father is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters here. We have been called by Jesus into this family. And with this calling, there is a sending, right? Being a disciple means you are being sent. Not like being sent to go get ice cream, which is very important in certain times, but we are being sent not just with money to the grocery store, but with authority and power, right? If we read verse 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. And sometimes I think we lose a little bit of this translation because we just don't understand what it meant to be a part of a family as it did back in the day. If you watch any of the movies that talk about kings and kingdoms, people wore their last name or the clan they were a part of on their shields or on their breastplates. It was people knew who you were a part of. So I'd be Dan, part of the Schultz clan. And I remember my parents telling me when I was younger that, hey, remember, you are a Schultz. And so the things that you do impact our family. So you keep up that name. And that was very, very important back in the day of who you belonged to. And if you belonged to the king and you were part of his family, if you were a prince or princess, that means you had authority and you had power. And people would treat you differently because of that. Now, when we are called into the family of God, that means we are now part of the family of the king, which makes us princes and princesses of the king, which gives us authority and power. Jesus is sending you with authority and power into this world. We are to carry that flag boldly that we are a part of the family of God. So if we are called and we are sent, what are some of the places that we are sent to? And the first that we think of is when Jesus gets a hold of our lives, we think, okay, he's going to send us to a far off place overseas. Right? And even Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we have this sense that, okay, well, God's calling me and we're going to be going out and change this world. And so we're called to Africa or Asia. And many people are called to be missionaries, and this is fantastic. And there's some great work being done in this world because of it. One of the organizations that we partner up with here at Grace Point is HCAS, which is the Haiti Children's Aid Society. And I had the privilege of going out with a bunch of young adults for a mission trip there for 2 weeks to really see what the orphanage is doing. We painted some brand new buildings and kind of helped out as much as we could in that orphanage. And it was a fantastic experience for us. But there's some people that are called to invest their entire lives in places like that. So that's the first place that we think of, okay, God is calling us and he's sending us overseas. Another place that he sends us is like to the inner city, to the poor and the homeless, to serve the less fortunate in our city. A few weeks ago, I was able to go with a group of people, friends and family, to serve at the Mustard Seed. And so that night we cooked a meal, paid for the meal, and served 316 people. And it was a great night to be able to serve together and do something that impacted people. We got to interact with some of the people that normally go to the Mustard Seed, but they do so much more there at the Mustard Seed than just give food. They have a community there. They try to educate. They try to have a place where people belong. They do some amazing work. There's great humanitarian organizations that we can come alongside in our city. And again, some people are called to places like these, and it becomes their life. Similar to some of like Lori in HCAS at the orphanage in Haiti, that has become her life. She runs that orphanage and is there day in and day out. There's people at the Mustard Seed that have, I met one young gentleman who wanted to make a difference in this world. And so he works there full time at the Mustard Seed, rubbing shoulders with those less fortunate in our city. For the rest of us, we may fly in and fly out just like I did going to Haiti. We're there for 2 weeks and I might have a sponsor child there. And these are great things to be a part of. But that's not our day-to-day life. And sometimes we feel that pressure to go and do something great, something big and extravagant for God. But that isn't all that we're called to do. God has made you who you are. And maybe he already has you where you're supposed to go. Maybe God has you where you're called to be. And I love how in the NIV, in verse 7, it talks about this word, as you go. And that has really struck me, that as I go, as I do my daily routine throughout the week, as I go to my workplace, as I go to all these different places, I am that representative of Jesus. And I think when we read this passage, we lose sight of that because it talks about places like Samaria in Israel. And those are so far away from us that we don't quite grasp what it meant to them in that context. The Message paraphrases that portion of scripture like this. And I love this. It says, "Don't begin by traveling to some far off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood." So maybe Jesus is sending you to your workplace or to your school or to sports. I love how 2 Timothy 2:7-8 says it this way. It says, "In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity and seriousness and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." We rub shoulders with the same people day in and day out. The people that we're building relationships with, those are people that maybe God has called us into their lives. Even Paul, who we believe to be this amazing missionary, and he was, but when he was in cities, he set up shop. He was a tent maker, and so he would supplement his income. That would be his income. He would be working with people. And while he was working with those people, he was sharing the gospel. And yes, he went to like the town halls and to the places where they gathered to spread the good news that way, but he also used the workplace, the places where he stayed, to share the good news. Ramp up sports is a great ministry here at Grace Point, and we talk about being active, but also being known, and to do everything for the glory of God. So whether you're at work or at school or sports or other activities, doing everything for the glory of God, because that is a place where He has placed you, where He has called you and sent you to go. Maybe He's called and sent you to your neighborhood, the places where you live. And I know this is tricky in Edmonton because of our weather. I was talking to a gentleman from the Philippines this past week, and he said, the weather is just so hard here because it just keeps you from engaging with people. If it was summer all year long, we would have, I believe we'd have a lot better relationships with our neighbors because we'd be outside more. But in the winter times, especially in my neighborhood where we have attached garages, we can drive right into our garage, not have to say hi to anyone. There's no interaction, close the doors, and we're shut in. But maybe God is calling us to the neighborhood. You know, the greatest commandment, Jesus says, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But also love your neighbor as yourself. So how are we loving our neighbors? How are we making that impact in the places that we live? One of the ideas behind Picnic at the Park, which will be happening this afternoon, is to build a connection here at Grace Point. So we're inviting everyone out to come and bring your own lunch and just hang out at the Crossing Spray Park this afternoon. But the idea is also to maybe invite some neighbors, invite some friends to come out and hang out with you too, to get to know some people here at Grace Point, to be a light into your neighborhood and do something more than just talk over the fence to them. And the fifth place that Jesus calls us and sends us to, and it might be the hardest place to go, is to our family and close friends. To speak to siblings, kids, parents, aunts and uncles or cousins about difficult discussions is hard, but spiritual discussions could be even harder, especially if there's some baggage attached for your family members and friends. It's easy to laugh with family, but a little bit more difficult to step out and start talking about Jesus. Because these are people that we see regularly, that we're stuck with, right? And, you know, it's hard to sometimes think of Jesus calling us to these places because we were born into it. But I really do feel that that should be a place that we need to go, that Jesus calls us and sends us to. John 15:13 says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." To lay down our lives for our family and friends. So these are places that Jesus is calling us and sending us to go. And we can go to these places and totally miss out on the opportunity because we forget about the mission. Just like going to an Oilers game and forgetting that there's a hockey game being played and you're just sitting out in the foyer or going to the washroom or eating the good food. There's a mission. There's a reason why we're being sent to these places. And as you go to your homes and into your families, into the neighborhoods and workplace, as you go and play sports or you go abroad, there is a mission. And there's three things that we can find in this passage. And the first is this. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. We share the good news. And Pastor Edward talked about this good news last week, right? That God wants to bless us. That God wants to bless you. That God wants to bless your coworker and your neighbor and your cousin. This is the good news. And Pastor Egbert shared last week, like, who doesn't want a blessing? If someone came up to you and said, hey, do you want a blessing? No, thanks. No, everyone wants a blessing. And God wants to give everyone that blessing. And we are to have Jesus on our hearts and on our tongues so we can share that blessing with others. Secondly, we are to show God's power. Right? It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Now that seems like a tall order. But as we are being called and as we are sent with power and authority, This is the power and authority that Jesus bestows on us. And what does that look like in our lives? What does that look like when we're talking with a coworker and hearing a story of maybe how his life is falling apart? It's, you know, can I pray for you? Can I pray for this situation? Because I believe that God cares and He wants to know and He wants to be asked to be invited into that situation. Maybe He's taking that extra moment to figure out what is going on in someone's life, to care for them and to love them. And to share even your own story on how God has transformed your life, how God has shown His power and authority in your life. So we're to share the good news, we're to show God's power. And lastly, the passage says that we give freely. It says, freely you have received, and freely you give. And this is a mark that I hope that Christians are known for. And they have been known throughout the centuries for giving freely, for being compassionate, for giving our finances, for giving our time, for serving, for loving people. And I love how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. It says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. How awesome is that? He will fill us up so much that in whatever circumstance we come across, that we can give freely, that we can be generous. That is an amazing God that we serve. And we need to really dig into that, that as God blesses us, that we bless others. This mission is yours. This mission to share the good news, to show God's power and to give freely is our mission as we're called and as we're sent out to the places that we may already be at. And even this summer, many of us will scatter. We're off to lakes and cottages. We're off on vacations. We're off to visit relatives. Or maybe we're just spending more time at home. But these are places that God is sending us. And we can take this opportunity in these beautiful summers that we have here in Edmonton to take that step forward, to get to know some neighbors, have a block party, have someone over for a barbecue. Do something different. Care for people. You have the good news. You have been called and are being sent out with this power and authority. It's only fitting to end with Dr. Seuss as we graduate from this sermon series this morning. So congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know. And you are the one who will decide where to go. So be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray, or Mordecai Ali Van Allen O'Shea. You're off to great places. Today is your day. Your calling is waiting. So get on your way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you're here with us and that you have called us. That you've called us to be part of your family. And what a great family that is. We're so privileged to be part of this Grace Point family, but in the larger Christian family, the family of brothers and sisters, people that love you. And Father, we know that you have placed us in positions, and sometimes we don't remember that we are there for a reason, because we think it's circumstance, or we just think it's maybe even too hard. But Father, you've called us into this family. You have sent us with power and authority, and you want us to make a difference wherever we are. So I pray for these places that we're going to go this week. I pray that you give us courage. Courage to think about you throughout the day, to see through your eyes and what you see and how you see different people, and how we can share that good news and be a blessing to others. And to show your power that you so desperately want to show this world. Father, I pray for those who are in places where it's difficult and it's hostile. where maybe it's frowned upon to talk about you. It's frowned upon to even talk about religion. But Father, I pray that you open doors. That you open doors in our families, in our neighborhoods. Father, you are great and you are going before us, and we love that. And I pray that we can follow you where you're going this week. We pray this in your name. Amen.